Hello, lovers.
Roses are red, violets are blue. We really want to share our conversation hearts with you.
Welcome to Likewise's Week of Love, with a new guest every day. I'm Issa.
And I'm Sam. And we're so excited for you to join us and our author, Galentines, while we share our love for romance books.
What can I say? We love love.
We are super excited that it is day 5 of Week of Love. And if you've been listening to the daily episodes, hopefully I've given you the right day. I know there was one where I said the wrong day number, so that's awkward. But I think this one is actually day 5. And it's kind of bittersweet because it's like, whoa, how is it ending? And real time when we're recording right now, it's actually like the last recording Issa and I are doing for Week of Love. So it's like, oh, like, wait, it's like over, but it hasn't started. So it's feeling very bittersweet right now. But yeah, we've been having so much fun with getting to talk to everybody. And today we are just so excited to talk to Ella Justice. We're so in love with your content and we just adore you and everything you're doing. So we're excited to like get to meet and pick your brain more and all that good stuff. So I'll let you introduce yourself to our listeners however you want.
Well, thanks, y'all. So my name is Ella Justice, as you said. Me in a nutshell, I'm from Tennessee. I love to wakeboard and wake surf, and I'm an avid reader, as I feel like, I mean, every author is, like, but I do really love to read. In my in-between time between school and work, I'm just reading. And something random about me is I'm really passionate about maternal health. That feels like such a random part of myself, but it's such a big part of myself I feel like I have to share. I work in labor and delivery right now as a labor and delivery tech. And so I get to help out with C-sections and with births and just mamas having babies. And it's my favorite thing ever. So it's really random, but I feel like I have to throw it out there. So I would just throw a birth story. People aren't like so surprised. I'm the oldest of 6 kids. So that's really fun. I have a little sister and then 4 boys in between. So a lot of my books, I'm finding out, have a lot of family, sibling, mom, daughter, sibling dynamics in them. So that's been really fun. And yeah, that's pretty much me.
Oh my gosh. I love that. That was like, I was like, oh, I wonder what this random fact is going to be. And then it was like the coolest thing ever. Like that is such a cool thing to be so passionate about.
Thanks.
Yes. Oh my gosh. No, I love seeing your stories and like just your little story times. I'm like, oh my gosh, that's so cute. She's so cute. So I'm like so stoked that this is like, instead of just us watching your stories, like we get to have a conversation. It's like, oh my gosh, this is real life. But you know, before we learn too much more, which I'm so stoked for, we're going to go into our roses and thorns. So Sam, what are your roses and thorns?
Okay. So my thorn, this is, I guess, a really good thing, is I had a hard time thinking of a thorn. So it's been a good week, a good day. So the only thing I could think of is that it's cold again. Like we kind of had like a little Midwest, like false spring kind of going on, where we had a week where it was warm. And then now it's like been 30 degrees all day. So it's been a little chilly. But my roses are so exciting. So if you've been listening, you've maybe heard me mention certain things about my laptop breaking, wanting a desktop, and all this stuff. And I got an exciting package yesterday, which is my desktop computer. Super exciting. But the funny thing is, the way we're recording, I'm realizing tomorrow you learn that my roses that I ordered one, I'm pretty sure. So that's just funny to be a listener and hear this out of order. But yeah, my desktop arrived. So that's fun. And then, oh, food day. I'm like, what does this say, food day? At my work, we have this like thing with the marketing team where for like holidays and little things, we have food days is what we call them. So everybody like just brings in a bunch of food and snacks and we like set up a big table and it's just like all day, everybody's going to the table and getting plates full of snacks. So we just had one for the Super Bowl and it was really fun. And I made a fruit salad, so yes, love food day. But that's really it for me. Ella, what are your roses and thorns?
I also had a hard time thinking of thorns. And then I thought of like 3. So I was like, oh, maybe it wasn't as good of a week as I thought. But my thorn is the same. It got cold here too. I'm in Utah, and so we had spring for like a week, and it was beautiful and glorious. And then it snowed like 2 days ago. It snowed and got really
No.
cold, and then it was like slushy rain hail for a little bit. It was really bad, and I'm one where I like try to will the weather to be the way I want by dressing for what weather I want. So it was really unfortunate for me because I was not dressed for it, but it all turned out okay. But yeah, that was a thorn. It got cold, and then I also have 3 exams that are this weekend, so that was really fun that all my professors decided to just do it all at the same time. So that was really fun. And then my rose. I think it's so cute that you guys do roses and thorns. That's so fun. I'm gonna have to start doing that. But my rose, why is this harder to think of than the thorn? I feel like I worked last night, and we had the cutest little baby be born. And it was a little redhead baby. And I was like, oh my gosh, I've never seen like a baby just come out with red hair. I know, it was so cool. So that was a rose. That was cool. It was very nice. And I had time to write this week. And so that was a huge, huge plus to my week. It was being able to actually sit down and get some writing done. So that was fun.
Oh my gosh, that's so fun. Oh, that's so cute. Like, I've always thought about like how LND would be so fun. Like, you get to be with like the new mamas and like the new babies and stuff, but then I'm also like, that's really gross.
Yeah, it's definitely a combo. It's not pretty most of the time, but you get used to it.
Yeah, no, so you know what? Power to you and power to everyone else who works in any kind of healthcare. Like, thank you, so that I
Got you,
don't
girl.
have to. my thorn, this is actually so funny. My thorn, so I'm playing soccer again, right? My thorn is on Thursday, was rough. Like towards the end of the game, so like we were supposed to have 7 girls, and so I play on a co-ed team, and so we have like we're supposed to have like at least 5 boys and 5 girls on the field at all times, and then the sixth or the 11th person can be a guy or a girl. Typically it's a guy because makes sense. Anyways, and so we were supposed to have 7 girls, which means we'd have like 2 substitutes for the girls' side, and then one didn't show, and then one girl left at the half because she was feeling so sick. And then so the second half, 45 minutes, all the girls had to play the whole time. No subs. I was like, oh, amazing, so fun. And then the last like 10-ish minutes, I felt like a calf, or I felt my like a cramp start in my calf. I was like, oh no, just a couple more minutes. Like, don't do this. That's so embarrassing. Luckily, I didn't cramp up during the game. But then after the game, when we were having like our post-team talk or whatever, I was taking off my shoe, and like that action sent my calf into like full-on cramp. And it felt like feeling it with my hand, it felt like there was an alien in there just like moving around. It was so freaky. It hurt so bad, but it was also the funniest thing in the world. Like, I have not experienced a cramp. Oh my gosh, a cramp. I don't cannot speak today, not good. I've not experienced a cramp like this in I don't know how long. And so all that to say is that my whole left leg, like starting up in my glute, like my left glute, so sore still, and like have like massive bruise on my left leg, and then a kind of big old welt on my right ankle too from the game. It's crazy, but so fun. I love soccer. I love contact sports. And then Rose is that we won against this team. They were like the number one team last season. They went undefeated, but we gave them a tie in the last game of the season. So then they didn't win every game last season. And now we beat them 2-1. So it's like, yes, beat our rivals. And also got unexpectedly paid yesterday because they're like, oh, since we raised your wages, we're retroactively like giving you more money from what you've already worked this year. Like, amazing. Thank you for that $20 extra in my bank account. And then also got a package yesterday from It's Nap Time podcast for Natalie's like 200 follower giveaway. That was so sweet. It was so cute. I love her. And then also, I know I say this every time, but like just week of love stuff. I'm so excited to be talking with Ella, as you know, I said earlier. Like, it's just so fun. I just love this stuff. So good.
Amazing. Oh my goodness. I love that we all had like really chaotic things happening for our roses and thorns. Like, this was a week to have, or not week, oh my gosh, day, because it's daily episodes, but a day for some chaotic stories. But before we get into our like actual questions for Ella, we wanted to talk a little bit about In His Eyes, which, if you don't know, is Ella's debut novel. It is out already. You could read it now. And so I'm just going to let her tell you whatever she wants to about the book. Maybe a little bit of where you can find it to read it. Just some quick promo about it, and just, I don't know. You guys should definitely read it because it is so good. I actually at this moment have 40 pages left, and I was gonna finish it yesterday because I left work early, but then I got distracted by TikTok, and then I was gonna finish it this morning, and then I woke up late, so now I'm like, okay, it will be like my fun thing to do later when I'm like still excited from getting to talk to Ella today. So yes, Ella, what do you want to share about In His Eyes?
Oh my gosh, I love that you're like currently reading it. That's so fun.
Yeah.
That's so fun. So kind of like you were saying, In His Eyes is my debut novel. Came out in September, so it's still kind of newer on like the scale of novels, but I feel like it's been out for a while. I feel like I've been a part of this community for a minute now, and I love it. So In His Eyes is it's a contemporary romance. And I like to say it's like a side of suspense because it's not like a full suspense, but it's got some suspense in there, which I think is really fun. And people have seemed to really enjoy. So basically the plot, without giving away any spoilers, is there's this girl, Ari. She and her mom are running away from something, from their past, and they're running back to the beach where they spent their childhood, this place called Avila Beach in California. And once they get there, Ari is reunited with her childhood best friend. His name's Nate, and he just happens to be this really cute surfer boy because, of course, he is. And they just reunite, and they were really close as kids. And she's kind of going through this whole crisis where she's trying to learn how to trust again from this trauma that she's running from, and trying to figure out who she is, and trying to reconnect with Nate. And so she's kind of going through a whole lot. But it's really cute because they, they fall in love. It's a romance, and it's really fun because there's surfer boys, there's going out to the beach, there's inside jokes with them, there's times with her mom is really close with Nate's mom, and so that's who they're staying with. So there's a fun dynamic there. So it's just really, it was really fun to write. And as I reread it, when you read something you wrote and you're like, did I write that? And it's like, it feels like separate from me, but rereading it to make posts, or just rereading it for fun, has been really fun because I feel like there's just such a connection there that you can make with Ari and just her struggles as a teenage girl trying to figure out who she is. And this boy likes her and she doesn't really know what to do about it. And she really likes him and she doesn't really know what to do about that. And then there's some suspense in there too. So it's a fun ride, and it's very much beach cozy vibes. Yeah. And that's pretty much what I have to say about it. You should read it.
Yes.
So I finished it. When did I finish it? Like, oh, a weekish? No, a couple days ago, not a week ago. I don't know how time works. It's all happening at once. It's kind of crazy. But I was like, oh my gosh, this is so good. Like, I really like the story, and like, just, I don't know, it was just so interesting. I liked that it was just like a sprinkle of suspense and not like the whole
Yes.
thing.
No, I was gonna say that too. When I started it, for some reason, like I remember seeing you have things like saying like, oh, side of suspense, like a little bit or whatever, but I forgot about that. So when I started reading, I was like, oh my gosh, I was like, wait, I feel like I'm reading like something so mysterious right now. I was like, this is like so suspenseful, because like it's kind of up in the air, like you can kind of try and assume what's happening and like what it is and what they're running from, but it's kind of just up for you to assume for that first bit. So it's kind of like, oh, like I kind of like, I don't know, I was like, wow, this is kind of nice, because it's like giving me a little more like intrigue and something to like really keep the pages going. Like it's so fast paced that I like just was not putting the book down. Like I read it in such big chunks, and it's definitely a really good one to read if you felt a reading slump coming on. Like that was something I'm struggling with right now, but like the second I started, like I just always need something fast paced like that and so sweet to bring me right out of that. So definitely a plus.
Oh yeah,
So.
and a not spoiler spoiler, Sam, for you. Last 40 pages, wild ride.
Yeah, I the fact that I'm like I stopped, I don't know how I stopped.
When you said the last 40 pages, I was like, I'm like thinking of where that is, and I'm like, oh girl, oh whoa, there's a lot that happens in those last 40. A lot.
Yes.
No,
Oh my
my
goodness.
exact thoughts.
I'm so excited. Well, we will just roll right into some more questions for you. So, obviously, very impressive that you were, this last year was probably so busy, like self-publishing and everything, but you were also a full-time college student. You work and then, as you said, like finding time to write. So, how do you kind of just like set up your schedule to be able to manage it all?
Short story, no social life, a planner, and energy drinks. That's the short version. Long version, it really just is a lot of, like, time management. Like, I have to sometimes like not scroll on my phone for as long if I'm like, I really need to get this chapter done in what I'm writing. This semester is also a little crazy because I'm graduating, and so it's like I'm trying to shove my final classes all in there. So it ended up being like 18 credits. So it's a lot of credits, and I work night shifts. So those are super fun, but they're also 12 hours overnight. So it's 6 p.m. to 6 a.m. So it's really just utilizing time that I have open. And then also making sure I don't burn myself out. That's like key, is that like I have to find time to write or find time to read a little book or go on a walk or hang out with a friend. Luckily, two of my very close friends are actually in some of my classes, so it's like crossover. Like I'm in class and I'm hanging out. But yeah, mostly just time management. I drink a lot of Alani's and Celsius's, to get me through. I found also that making time to go to the gym is very important for me because that's like gets my day going productively, and I'm like 10 times more productive than if I just lay in my bed until I have to go to class. So that's been a hard, like, I'm like, oh, I'm not really a gym girly, but like I'm trying and it's really been helping me. But I think time management has been huge, and my planner is so ridiculously detailed, like to the hour. So I think that's the only way I can do it. But it's fun. I enjoy it. I enjoy being chaotic. So it works.
Oh my word. I wish my planner was like that. Well, when I used it, now I wish my planner was like that. Like sometimes I would get that way, and like I could plan out all my assignments for like the semester, lay them all out in my planner and calendar and stuff and all the things. But then got to a point where I was like, I don't need this.
I love that for you because I have to have it down there.
No, I want that for me so bad. You are my inspiration.
Yes, I want to be a planner girly so bad. And every single time in my life that I've tried to, like high school, college, like I've reset and like tried to put myself back into being a planner girl so many times, and it just never worked for me. But I'm giving it another shot. I actually just bought one the other day. And I'm gonna try and make it work. I'm gonna try and do it because I realized I was just like, wow, I have so many things all coming to like my personal email that like I kept missing emails from people that were important. And I was like, oh my goodness, like now I have like all these like new events and like days to keep track of, like make sure I'm responding to people fast enough and all this stuff. So I'm like, okay, maybe I can be a planner girl again.
I feel like you have to romanticize it though, because I mean, having a planner is just kind of like having a planner. But I'm like, oh, I get to check something off that I did it, and I like make it way cooler than it is, and in my head. So that's like the
Yes.
author side coming in clutch right there. Everything's so like romanticized, so I can switch that on.
Yeah, you would think that I would love and like be so good at keeping a planner because I'm an Enneagram type 3, which is the achiever. And so like I love checking things off my to-do list. And like if there's something on not on my to-do list that I do, I like write it down just to check it off. And so yeah, definitely need to romanticize it more to get in the right headspace for it. But kind of going along with that, like, not just how do you set up your schedule, but can you kind of walk us through, maybe not like walk us through, but or like, I don't know. I'm just curious about like your creative process, like with just life, the life that you live.
Yeah, with my writing, the biggest thing for me is that like I always have things going in my head, and I used to think I was like, am I psycho? Like I'm just always like thinking all these different things. I have a million plots going on in my head. I talk them out loud sometimes when I'm driving. Like 90% of the time when I'm driving, I'm like speaking. Like if I'm by myself, I'm like talking things out. I'm like working through scenes, or I'm like just talking through thoughts I have in my head, which, you know, if you turned and looked at me, you'd be like, what the heck? But I just am like, you know, people have Bluetooth. Maybe I'm talking to someone. You don't know I'm talking to myself. So that's a big part of my creative process, is I just always have things going on in my head. I'm always thinking through a scene, or I'm trying to think of where I want the plot to go next. And then the second part of that that's really important to my process is my notes app in my phone. Oh my gosh, I live and die by my notes app in my phone. It has the entire Seasons of Change series is currently plotted in there, because it's where like I'll have an idea. I'm the queen of laying down to go to bed and being like, oh my gosh, it'd be so perfect if so and so said this during this part that I'm working on. And then I have to jump out of my cozy bed and grab my phone, and then I write it in my notes because I know I'll forget it. And I did that a lot with In His Eyes. I remember there's one quote specifically that I wrote that I like is huge to the story, like monumental, like my favorite one to write. I got it when I was literally laying in bed, and I was like, oh my gosh, that's what needs to be said. And I jumped up and I got to my notes app and I like jotted it down. And now it's like people have sent me that quote specifically and been like, this was my favorite part of the whole book. And I was like, oh yeah, that came to me when I was laying in my bed, and it was like just came. But I think of it like a puzzle. Like that's how I describe it to people. I don't really know a better way to describe it, but it's like the story exists somewhere in my brain, and my brain knows I can only handle bits and pieces at a time. And so it gives me like random bits and pieces, and they're not always like chronological. So like for what I'm writing right now, I had like the first bit, and then I had like the middle, and I didn't really have the in between. And I had like fleshed them out, written them like fully, kind of gone through and edited. And then it started like coming to me in pieces, like, oh, that would be so perfect right there. So it's really a jumble, is what I'm getting at. It's chaotic, but it works. It's like a puzzle. And then I just use my notes app for all the little thoughts. And then I'll go into my Google Docs and plot it out better. But Google or my iPhone notes is where my stories live.
That's so fun. Yeah, Sam and I, we have many iPhone notes, collab
Yeah.
notes. Likewise, kind of lives and breathes by the notes app.
Yeah. It's like a note, like a shared note happens, and then sometimes that gets moved to a Google Doc because we're like, we should maybe have like a more official note. And then all since I'm like such a creative thinker with like visual stuff, I like sprint Canva and I'm just like designing something that like goes along with it to just like be like, this is like the vibe. It's like a weird way to plot and draft things out, but yeah, it's very puzzly. That is a very good way to put it, and it kind of like sums up a lot of our process too.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, I'm diving get us started on the Pinterest boards.
I was about to say, I didn't even mention Pinterest, but it's like my soul lives on Pinterest.
Yeah.
You know, my thoughts are in my notes, but if you want to see what I'm thinking, it's in my Pinterest boards. All of my like couples for all of my upcoming books, like they all have a Pinterest board, and it's
Well,
like vibes plus like what, like if I'm trying to. Sometimes I'm not gonna lie, some of my ideas come from what pops up on Pinterest when I'm looking for something else. I'll see a picture and I'm like, that kind of looks like da 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 da. And then it becomes a scene in a book, and I'm like, oh, that was kind of fun. But I love Pinterest. Love Pinterest.
yes.
Oh my gosh. Oh, and then also very similar to you, but not like my own stuff. Like Sam has talked about how she's an aspiring author, how she's,
Oh, yeah.
got a whip right now. Literally, what was it, like a couple, 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, I don't know, sometime. I was laying in bed. And then the next morning I told her, I was like, Sam, I couldn't sleep last night because I was thinking about your books. I was like, I have this idea. Like, it's fine if you don't like it, but I just need to tell you just in case. I was like, oh my gosh, the way that this is consuming my thoughts, like this is literally why I could not sleep last night because I was thinking about it.
Oh, it's so funny. It's like sometimes your creativity sparks at the most random moments, but like you take it where you can. Like a win is a win, and it's like, wow, this could be one of the best ideas I've ever had, even though maybe like, I think in the shower a lot. Or like driving, like you said, like that's a huge one. Like I should try talking my ideas out because I forget them after I like think about it in the car because I'm like listening to my music, but then I'm just thinking through it in my head. So I'm like, oh, maybe if I say it out loud, like I'll remember it more to then write it down later. So I will take that tip. But you always kind of think like the ideas you're having in those weird settings are probably not good ideas, but then you look back on them and you're like, wow, this is probably the best one I've ever had. So
I know. The notes and your first draft of like anything is just the most giant word vomit you've ever done in your whole life. And they always say that. They're always like, just write everything. And sometimes I'm like, I'm glad I wrote that, even though I felt like not good about it initially when I wrote it. And I was like, oh, I should probably delete that. Going back through, I was like, oh, either that inspired me to write something that was actually really good, or I was able to like make it so much better and make it tie in. And it was like, oh, that was actually kind of key. And I'm glad I word vomited that onto my Google Doc.
yes. Oh, love that. A little off topic of where we were at just now. But we saw on your story recently, you posted a picture of like the cutest and most thoughtful mug that your brother gifted to you. And you have mentioned like you find like a lot of themes of like family and things popping up in your books because of your close relationship with your family. So just like, what does that mean to you to have that support coming to you from your family?
Oh my gosh, it's everything. I mean, my mom was my first alpha reader, beta reader, critiquer. Like, I sent, when I wrote In His Eyes, I actually wrote it when I was like 18, like five years ago now, 5, 6 years ago. Ew. But when I first sent it to her, she was actually the one who said, you should look into getting this published. And, long journey, but she was the one that first encouraged me to do that. And my dad's so funny. He's like, he fully supports me, but he's like so nervous to read the book because he's like, it's a romance written by my daughter. And he's like, it feels weird to me. I was like, that's so fair. But all of my family has been super supportive. My brother gifted me that mug. That was so sweet. My other brother, who lives in Utah as well, he's been so sweet and has been in so much of my content that I've made him do. I made him do like read-throughs and reaction readings and guess the context of the quote. And he's such a good sport. He's like, yeah, I'll totally do that. And it's just so great. Like, I don't know what I would do without my family. And I'm so grateful because I know not everybody has that support, especially when you're trying to do something that is very vulnerable. Like, putting a book out there that is fully your thoughts is like the most vulnerable thing I think I've ever done because it's fully me. Here's me, judge me, and tell me if you like it. And even though it's not like it's a character I came up with, it's all thoughts from my head. And so having my family first and foremost like support me and put that forward has been huge. It's been huge to my process. I don't think I would be continuing to write and having even published if it weren't for my family.
That's so sweet.
They're the best.
No, I love that so much. Like, because it's, very vulnerable, like you said, and it can be hard to just like, want to be like, yeah, I wrote a book. Like, because you're like, wait, what are they gonna think? Are they gonna like encourage me to follow the stream? Or like, I don't know. It's always scary, but it's so great when the people around you are so supportive. Obviously, we talked a little bit about your creative process and everything we love about kind of just like finding these little creative outlets. And that's so interesting to know that you actually wrote In His Eyes. a long time ago, which, okay, actually going back to that comment when you were like saying like 5 years ago or whatever, that is Issa and I every day. Like we were like, wait, we're not 18 anymore. Like we are this old. Like, yeah, it's kind of funny. But when you started writing, what was kind of like the inspiration behind it in his eyes? Like what inspired you to start telling this story, or like where did the inspiration strike from?
I'm gonna be so honest. I don't know. I feel like it was just a story that kind of came to me. And I've always just been so intrigued by stories of people who are running from something or from people who have to overcome something outside of their control. And I don't know. I think it's just the strength that comes from people like that that pulls me to those stories where they're just. The amount of strength it takes to overcome something that is so out of your control and such an external force that's forcing itself upon your life, and the bravery and the vulnerability that comes from healing from that, and then in turn being able to connect with others, I just think is so inspiring. So I think that's where part of that came from, is I just have always been like, that is, I mean, I love watching like biopics and like documentaries about like people who have overcome these great things. So I think that's where like the general inspiration from Arya's story came from. And then the rest of it, I don't know. It just kind of like came to me. I just like wrote it when I was 18. And then it was kind of interesting though, because I decided I wanted to publish it. Oh, probably like last year, like January of last year of 2023. And so I went through and totally like revamped it. Like it was a very different story when I wrote it at 18. I mean, I would never have published that. It was very different, but it was kind of interesting to see like the meld of like who I am now versus who I was when I was 18, and kind of what that inspired, reading back through what I had written and what I wanted Ari's story to look like. And I think, yeah, I don't know. I think it just kind of came from a mix of things I personally struggle with, not in the same way Ari does, but some things that are hard for me kind of bled into her character. And then, everyone wants to fall in love with a cute surfer boy. Everybody does. And so I think that's kind of where it came from too. When I was a freshman in college, I was like, I want a cute surfer boy. And so I wrote one. So it kind of came from a mix.
Definitely. That's so fun. Oh my gosh. I reading recently, Issa and I have both kind of just been like, the second we finish a book, we're like, wait, now why do I want like this person? Like we were like, why do I want a rock star boyfriend now? Why do I want this? And this. So it's just funny how like reading these things, we're like, wow, yeah, and I'm gonna have a new celebrity crush just based on like whatever this book was to me.
100% every time. I gotta be careful sometimes. I'm like, oh, I want that one a little too much. Reel it back. Reel it back.
Yeah. I've become a little hyperfixated on some people sometimes. My red flag, my beige flag, really.
Don't we all? Don't we all?
Wow. No, that's like so exciting, like hearing that this has been like a whole process for you, like for so long. And like, it's just, I don't know, in his eyes has been like there for 5, 6 years. Oh my gosh. No, I know when you said that, I was like, Lord have mercy. Oh, I'm getting old.
I know, I'm so old. I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm grandma.
No, literally. And so like I was just wondering, like, was there a specific moment in your life that you knew writing and being an author was something that like you maybe wanted to do, or did it just kind of come up suddenly? Like you had this idea, you wrote in his eyes, you're like, that would be fun one day, or you're like, not going to publish this. This is just fun to do. You know, does that make sense?
Yeah, totally. I feel like to explain, I have to take you on my journey. So welcome
Perfect.
to Ella's journey
Oh, I
of
love this.
life. Welcome to TED Talk. So basically, when I was little, I always loved reading. I loved reading so much. Like I was the biggest bookworm. My whole family knew it. They were so, my mom would read, like, I remember reading Chronicles of Narnia with her when I was a kid, and just like loving like the magic of like going into another world and thinking about these characters. And then I would, okay, this is really embarrassing, but I would like write my own stories, and I would basically write down the exact plot of movies that I liked, because that was just What I loved. Like, do you remember another Cinderella story with Selena Gomez and Drew Seeley? An
Yes.
iconic topic. I wrote a story that was supposed to be loosely based off of that. It was the exact plot and like word for word. And I was so proud of myself. And I was like, this is it. But I started writing when I was younger. And then, I became more original and had my own ideas. But when I was in high school, high school is just a weird time all the way around. And I had just moved. We lived in California when I was growing up, and we moved to Tennessee when I was in high school. And I was going through a weird phase where I like didn't want to talk to people. So I didn't want to make any friends because I was, I don't know, angry about random things as a teenager is. I was just kind of angsty for no good reason. And so I would, instead of like trying to find someone to sit with or I would sit with people sometimes during lunch. Lunch was the only time where I was like, oh, I don't want to talk to. It's like social hour. Like, I don't want to find somewhere to sit. And so instead, I would go to the library and I would write. I would just open a Google Doc and I just had all these stories in my head and I just started writing them. Most of them are complete trash. Like, I go back and reread them and I'm like, oh, cute little me. But that's kind of where I got started writing, and writing as like an outlet, because I feel like that's where writing really started for me, was like a create like an outlet for when I felt angsty or when I just needed to do something or when I had a thought in my head. And so then when I got to college, it kind of continued to be that for me, to just be an outlet. And then it became really fun. And then I just loved writing and it became like a side hobby. And then fast forward, I was in college. I kind of didn't write a 10 because you have to write so many papers, and I was like, I don't have the time. But this past like couple years, I just got back into it really hard. And then I don't know if you know who Sarah Mae Sutton is. She's like a young adult author. She's like a self-published author. I randomly came across her like Instagram because I'd read some of her books. And she was self-published, and so she has a whole YouTube channel where she goes through all the things of how she was self-published. And I was like, I've always wanted to like be like a legit writer, like that. Anyone who writes like wants that, who wants to share their stories and not just have them be in a random Google Doc. And so I was like, that would be really cool to like share this story. And I had started like revamping In His Eyes because I'd come across it again. And I was like, this has potential to like actually be good. And so that's kind of where it came from. That was a long story to get to where I'm going. But basically, it's been kind of my whole life where it's been gradual little things where, oh, I just would write because of this. Or I had a story in my head, so I wrote here. And then it was like, oh, maybe I should publish it. I came across this random Instagrammer. And so it's just been, basically, life's been like, you should write. And I'm like, okay. And then I just do it.
That's so good. It's always, I love hearing everybody's like different story because I feel like more often than not, everybody's always just like, yeah, I've always wanted to be a writer. Like, I've always wanted to be an author. And I'm like, okay, like, where are the people who like, maybe had times in their life where they just like never like thought of it that way, or like they're just writing random stories, or like maybe they kind of thought a couple times like, oh, that'd be cool, but like they never until like recently kind of had more of those developments to like found themselves in the community, or like as they read more or something. Because like that's like how I feel a little more personally. Like, I'm like, oh, I never thought when I was younger, I was never like, I'm gonna write a book or something. So I think sometimes it just like naturally develops, and the right thing, it's kind of like a aha moment. Like, it just presents itself in front of you and you're like, wow, this is like fate. Like, this is meant for me, and I need to see what happens. So that's just like so fun to hear about. With your books, obviously it can be something that you've written that's like not from in his eyes. Like, it could be future work, previous things that just aren't published, just anything you've written. But do you have like a favorite line or moment that you have written, and why?
Okay, I've been thinking about this a lot recently, actually, and I've thought of two. One is from In His Eyes, and then one is from what I'm working on right now. So the one from In His Eyes is the one I was telling you guys about, where I like it came to me in my bed while I was sleeping, and I was like, "Oh my gosh, this is it!" And so many people have sent it to me, and I'll just read it because it's kind of long, but I feel like it's my favorite.
You
I
need
love
it all.
it. And it's kind of gonna be a spoiler for you, Sam, though, because it's in the last 40 pages of the book.
Oh my gosh.
So if you need to close your
Tea.
ears,
No
go
secrets for you, Sam.
I love spoilers.
Spoiler for you. Okay, but it's like kind of twisted, and then these are just Ari's thoughts. And she says, "But that's the beauty of life. Just because you carry scars with you doesn't mean you're worth any less. When you start to see your brokenness as a part of you, that's when you can truly live. And when you learn to love that brokenness, that's when you can give that piece of life inside of you to someone else." And I just love that. I feel like everyone can kind of relate to that on some level of like, yeah, part of you, just whether from what you've gone through or just your view of yourself, you can feel kind of broken. And understanding that like everyone feels that way. And once you, it doesn't determine your worth. What's happened to you in life doesn't determine your worth. And once you realize that, you can give life to someone else. You can connect with someone else, whether it's romantic or friendship or family. So I just love that line. It's one of my favorites. And then a moment I wrote from the book I'm working on now, After the Leaves Fell, my next book I'm working on. I wrote their first kiss a little bit ago, and I won't spoil too much, but it's like it's angsty and I'm loving it. It's so different from Ari and Nate, but I'm like, oh my gosh, why is this my favorite thing ever? I'm a sucker for a good angsty like first kiss where they're like low-key arguing and then it's just like all the feelings come up. Why is that so good? And I like wrote it and I was like, okay. So those are my two very different an angsty first kiss and like a sentimental like life lesson, but they're my favorite things I've written to date, I think.
Yes. Oh my gosh. That's so fun. Cause no, when you were saying like it's angsty versus like, oh my gosh, why are those like my favorites too? They're just, I don't know. I don't know what it is about them, but there's just something. It's like, that's kind of
It's
fun.
just the tension is just so much better than like a really sweet little moment. Like, I love the sweet moments too, but it's like, oh, the tension of something angsty is just way more exciting. And like, you get that moment where you're like, oh my gosh, are they about to kiss right now? Like, you're like questioning it, you know? So I don't know, it's so fun.
I know. I think every romance book girly can relate their love of an angsty like moment to the 2005 Pride and Prejudice with Keira Knightley. I think about this on the daily when they're arguing in like the gazebo
Yeah.
and they like almost kiss and they're like full on arguing and then they get so close and then they're like all this tension. I remember watching it like with my mom like as a kid and we were like that was everything like shook to our cores that was happening and there's just something about it, but I think that's where I trace my love of it back to. Shout out to Keira Knightley for that one.
Oh my gosh, no, for real. That is a, oh my gosh. That movie, it's in my top 10 movie. Like, it's so good. And like that scene, and no matter how many times I watch it, like, I want them to kiss every single time. I'm like, why are you not doing this? Hello. Like, I understand it, but also, hello, just do this.
Totally.
I'm thinking it'll change every time I watch my DVD. Oh my gosh. Anyways, so kind of similar to the last question, but instead of like favorite moment or line, do you have like a character that you've written, published, not published, or maybe even just thought of that you relate to the most?
That's such a hard question. I feel like I'm kind of weird. Where like a piece of me makes my way into all of like my main characters, like all of my, I'll call them my girls, all my main girls. They all have like a little piece of me in them. And my mom's so funny. Anytime she reads my work, she's like, "Okay, so we talked about that, which you're, which is you. That's you." And I was like, "Thanks, Mom." But I feel like the character I'm writing right now, Oakley, I feel a lot like her in a lot of ways. She actually works in labor and delivery too, so that's kind of been fun to throw that in there. And then she's got some stubbornness to her. And my mom's like, "Yeah, that's you." And I'm like, "Thanks, Mom, I love you so much. But I really relate to her though, because she is kind of feisty, but she also, like, I don't know, she's just fun. She's just fun, and she loves her girls, and she loves a night out. And but she also, like, has this side to her where she likes her job. She likes to study and learn new things. And I'm like, I feel like I have both those aspects to me, and so I really relate to her on that. And she just doesn't put up with the main guy's crap either. So there's also that, and I love that about her, and I want to emulate her more in that aspect.
Oh my gosh, that's too good. I love getting to hear like little sneak peeks into future characters that are to be read. So that's so fun to hear like a little bit about their personalities. Aside from your book, obviously, do you have like any of your like staple favorite books that you've read that you would recommend to just like absolutely anybody?
I feel like if you're a romance reader, you have to read. I mean, not to talk about Pride and Prejudice twice in this podcast, but Pride and Prejudice is like the OG romance, angsty. It's low-key a satire on society. Like, it's so good. It's got so much to it. The Old English can be rough, but it's just like, oh, it's so good. You have to read it as a foundational romance book. Another one that I really like, if you like Regency romances, it's called Eden Brook by Julianne Donaldson. That one I read when I was like in high school, and I just love it. I've reread it so many times. It's just like a good, like, makes you feel happy, and you're like, oh, no, just love each other. Come on, like, you got it. You can do it. So I love that one. I'm trying to think. There was, I mean, A Court of Thorns and Roses is a it's so big right now, but it's big for a reason. I got sucked in so fast. Another one that some people have mixed opinions on, but I feel like just the emotion with which it's written is really good, is It Ends With Us by Colleen Hoover. And some people really don't like it, but I just love the emotion with which she wrote. I was like, whoa, that was like, I was in there, and I was feeling it. I'm trying to think of any more that are like my go-to's. I mean, I love Harry Potter. That's one I feel like anyone can just love that book so much. That whole series is so good. I quote it probably daily, and it's a little psycho of me, but it's okay. It's worth it.
No, I love that. I think because like I really like It Ends With Us as well. And like I know that she's controversial, but I think if it were to have been marketed in the right way instead of the way it was marketed, people would have different opinions. But that's just my two cents.
I just stumbled upon it too. So, like, I didn't see any of the marketing or anything for it. So, maybe that's why I liked it so much too, is I just read it at like face value instead of like all the marketing. And then I saw the marketing after, and I was like,
Yeah,
but.
no, same. 'Cause like I got it as my book of the month, like my second month or something, at the end of 2021. And like so I knew nothing about it. And so like I kind of just read it. I was like, oh my gosh, this is so good. And then yeah, like similar to you, like I saw all the marketing. I was like, oh, glad I didn't see that. 'Cause then I would have been, I think, severely disappointed.
Wow, I always love hearing about everybody's favorite books because like sometimes there's like ones I haven't read that I'm like, okay, amazing. Now I have a new book for my never-ending TBR. But I will very much second the Pride and Prejudice because I read that so recently and it's always in my head. It's so good.
So good. So good. It's the best.
Oh, okay. Now it needs to jump up on my TBR. Oh, Lord have mercy. Okay, another. Oh my gosh. Like, so asking like for favorite books or like book recs, and then also this question are two favorite questions to ask people. But are there any tropes that you feel very strongly about, good or bad?
Oh my gosh, yes. Okay, I was just thinking about this. Like, oh, The miscommunication trope, I cannot handle it. I don't know what it is. Like, I'm like, just talk to each other, just speak. And I feel like there's a difference between like the angsty tension, like in enemies to lovers, where they're just not admitting their feelings. But like, miscommunication is like, they literally just like, there is something that they think the other one has done, or something's happened, and they think they're wrong. And then they always do something so stupid about it. And it makes me so angry. Like in my soul, I'm like, oh my gosh, why? Why? Anyhow, sometimes I'm like, okay, yeah, like that was valid and that was fair and that was angsty. But most of the time, I just can't. I can't do it. It's the worst for me.
I love that. This is so funny because we've had, I'd say, almost every single person for Week of Love when we've talked about this has brought up the miscommunication trope, but like everybody has said so many different things about it. So it'll be fun to like go back and listen to every conversation and just like know what each person said about it. Because it is like, it's a hot topic because like it can be okay and good and done well, but sometimes it can just be very frustrating to
Oh,
read.
yeah. It's like sometimes I'm like, I get it. I get why it was in there and it made sense for the moment. But oh my gosh, just talk to each other. Holy smokes. It just, I don't know why I feel so passionately about it. That one I feel so passionately about. And I, on the good side, I will read any like brother's best friend anytime. I'm like, yes. 100%. Brother's best friend is like my all-time favorite trope, and I don't really know why, but it's good. I don't have any older brothers, so it's not like that was ever a possibility for me. So maybe that's why I'm like, yes, because it's just a pipe dream, but who knows? This is
Yes,
really
I feel very
passionate about
similar.
those two.
I don't think I've read very many Brother's Best Friend, or maybe I haven't at all. I don't know. But just like the idea of it, I love. But like my brother, he's 2 years younger than me. And so I'm like, no, I love it in books, or like the idea of it in books, not in reality. Like, I'm sorry, but that would just be so weird. Like, especially since most of my brother's friends, like, known them since childhood. I'm like, this is not a childhood friends to lovers thing. Like, let me tell you that.
Oh my gosh, that's so funny. No, I can agree. I love a brother's best friend, and I don't even have a brother. So
See, it's the dream of it, I think, that
yeah.
gets, we're just like, if only it was built in, you know, he just had a hot friend and then everything would be great. But no, but yeah, my brother's 2 years younger than me too, and I have like all younger brothers. I'm like, that's not gonna happen.
That's so funny. Okay, well, you have mentioned it a little bit with your next book being After the Leaves Fell, and we know you've like announced things about how it's part of a series and it's called the Seasons of Change series, which, first of all, that sounds so cool. Love that. But like just with thinking about that getting published next, anything that you want to share about it is welcome, obviously very spoiler free. And even if you want us to take things out, whatever, but we just figured we'd open the floor for you to share whatever you want about what people can anticipate coming next from you.
Yeah. So I'll share a little bit about the series because I've shared a little bit about before, but I don't feel like I've shared a ton about what it's gonna look like. So it's gonna be a 4-book series. There's some potentials for some spin-offs, but we'll start with the four. We'll start there. Can't get too ahead of myself. But we'll start with the four, and the reason why it's called Seasons of Change, is each character is gonna, and each book is gonna take place in a season. So, like, for example, the first book, After the Leaves Fell, is in fall. And so it's going to take place in the fall. It's going to be centered on the fall. And then also the character development is going to relate to the season. So, like, I'm trying to think of how to say this without giving too much away. So, if you just think of how leaves change in fall, think of how that could relate to a character development. But basically, that's the premise of the series. Is when I was coming up with it, I kind of came up with the storylines like kind of separately, and then I really wanted to write some books that were in like in seasons, because I love a good fall read, or I love a good summer read, and I love a Christmassy read, and I love like a springtime read. And I feel like we don't have a lot of those. Like, those aren't like a very big seasonal genre that we have. And so I was like, it'd be so fun to like have these different seasons. And so that's kind of the premise of the whole series, is each girl, they're all four of them are roommates. And so it goes through each roommate will have their own book, their own love story in their own season, and then their own character development to go with that. So that's kind of the general idea of the series. I'm really excited about it. As I've been like coming up with ideas for it, it's been really cool to see how like already with the characters that I had made them, like, and as I just kind of started writing after the leaves fell, like they fit into their season. And I was like, oh, well, that kind of worked. That was kind of fun. But I'm really excited about that. And they'll all be kind of different types of characters. I feel like I gravitate more times like a cinnamon roll. Love interest is what I gravitate towards, but I'm going to try to stretch myself, have some grumps in there, mix it up. But I'm super excited because it feels like it's coming together very organically and as I'm writing it. So After the Leaves Fell should be coming out in October of 2024. And I'm really excited about it. It's really coming together well. And it's cool because kind of like how I mentioned earlier with In His Eyes, it was like I was melding my 18-year-old writer self with my now writer self. And After the Leaves Fell, I'm just writing from point blank. Like, I started writing it when I was publishing In His Eyes. And so it's just my voice now. And it's cool to see how like I've grown since then, since writing In His Eyes, and how I've grown as like a writer, and like with my voice as a writer and my tone and the things I include and the depth of my characters and things like that. So, I mean, that was a lot, but that's what you can look forward to.
Yes. Oh my gosh. I'm just so stoked. That's like such an interesting concept. And when you said, just think about how the leaves change and how a person could change. That's the funniest thing I've ever heard. In a good way, I promise. No, I loved it.
I'm like, I don't want to spoil like the whole character development, but also I felt like I was already going that way. So I was like, I'll give you a thought, maybe. I don't know. Take that as you will.
Right. Use your imagination to spoil it for yourself. Yeah, but I technically didn't tell you. Yeah. Oh my gosh. That is so exciting because I also love seasonal reads. I feel like so many people want to like be reading the things that feel right for the season, and it feels a lot more cozy and natural. And like, I had so many books this last like fall and winter that I was like, I need to finish this and read it before we get into spring, because if I don't read this still in this season, like I probably will have to wait till a whole year from now, because it'll be spring or summer and I won't like really get into the mood of it as much. So yes, that is so exciting. And like what you said about spring, I could not even tell you like what books give me spring, because it's like kind of like most romance books just get dropped in like, oh, it's perfect to read for like early spring, Valentine's Day, whatever, you can just like read some romance books. But it's like, what is specifically spring? Besides like, all I could think of is like, oh, any sports romance where like the sport is like more of a spring sport.
Spring, yeah.
Yeah,
that's the only thing I can think of too. I'm like, I don't really know any like spring romances, you know, but I'd love to find one.
I feel like we like start reading summery books in the spring instead of like reading like a true spring book, because everybody's really looking forward to summer. So they're like, I just want like a beach read right now, and it'll be March. So I feel like that's more of what people do.
Totally.
I cannot believe that was the last question. I just got lost. I was like, oh my gosh, we have so many more. No,
we don't.
That was so much fun, like learning. I mean, not just so much about your writing and your history with it and just, you know, all the things creative, but just like learning more about you as a person, as an individual. And so like, thank you so much for sharing all that you did.
Of course. Thanks for having me on here. It was so fun. I've been looking forward to it. I was like, oh, this will be so fun. This is my first time ever being on a podcast, so I feel very official now. I feel like a real author, but not a podcast.
Yes. Oh my gosh, that's so exciting. It's been so fun for us to like just like expand what we kind of do on the podcast, and because we love guest episodes and having people on and getting to pick people's brains. And so it's been fun to just like talk to so many authors, because we're like, wow, now we like really are getting like a deeper look into the books we've read or like their creative processes, because we were able to always transport so much of like any advice like authors give or talk about their creative process somehow is so relatable to us, like just doing a podcast. So it's so interesting to just like see how like all these different creative outlets kind of can like come together and find common ground. So it's so fun for us.
Yes. Oh my gosh. And so I guess, not I guess, literally every day. Before we officially end, we're gonna go through our songs of the day. So Sam, do you want to start us off and give us your song of the day?
Okay, I so will. So the other day at work, mine has a story. I had the lowest attention span I've had in like months. I was so bored at work, and I tried to listen to so many podcasts. I tried to start a bunch of different audiobooks. I tried to watch like Skillshare classes. I was doing all this stuff because I had nothing to do, and nothing was like keeping my attention. I was not in the mood for any of the music I was listening to. And then like I was thinking about something that like Issa might kind of know a little bit about the reference to this, but I was thinking about an idea I have for a future story. And this song just got stuck in my head. And the song is Hung Up by Madonna, which I'm 90% sure we were talking about another Cinderella story. And is that not like the, maybe this was just different in Glee with Jane Lynch, but there's like Jane Lynch like sings this song, and then there's like also something similar happening in another Cinderella story with something. I'm like, it's coming to me, but I can't remember it exactly, but I feel like it happens. Might not be this song, but something similar. But somehow listening to this song, I just got on a Madonna kick the other day, and it was the only thing that held my attention was just listening to like Madonna's greatest hits. So that's my song of the day. Ella, what's yours?
Oh, this is a good question. So my go-to song always, I don't know why I love it so much, but it's literally from the Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse movie. But that soundtrack, I don't know what they put in that, but it was so good. It's Self Love by Metro Boomin and Coi Leray, and it's so good. I listen to it all the time. It's like my pump-up song. It's my favorite. I love it. And then I'll just throw in like a side, like a sub song is Any Man of Mine by Shania Twain. Love, always a jam. You should listen to it. Those are my songs.
Love me some Shania Queen.
The queen.
Okay, my song kind of has a story, but like not really. So my song is Tell You Twice by Jackson Marshall. And if you are a longtime Likewise listener, you'll know that Sam and I have found many artists on TikTok. Recently, I have not. Like, I don't know what happened to my TikTok, but like somehow got off of like indie artists. Like actual like indie independent artists TikTok and stuff, and so I have not seen like that like on my For You page in so long, but like Sam has, and I'm like, dang, how do I get back there? But like the other day, yesterday, not the other day, I like saw this. I was like, oh my gosh. So I sent her a song real quick. I was like saving it to my library. Now it's not out. I was like, you're kidding me. So then I just started listening to him, and then, or like, no, we started listening at the same time. And then we're just like texting each other. We're like, oh my gosh, we love these songs. Wow, look at this one. And so I chose Tell You Twice because that was actually like the first one that I listened to in full. The end.
Yes. He's very good. I enjoy his music. We may have found him yesterday, but we will tell everybody to go listen to
Number one fans already. We did, in
him.
fact, follow him from the Likewise account. And by we, I mean me. I told Sam, and then she laughed.
Oh my
Love
goodness. What good songs of the day. I'm gonna listen to them after this.
Yes. Oh my gosh. This has been so much fun. And like, I know I sound like a broken record at this point, just like on every episode with every author, like saying, oh my gosh, thank you so much. And like, this has been so fun. Like, I love this, blah, blah, blah. But like, I truly mean it from like bottom of my heart. Like, Ella, thank you so much for spending like your time with us today and like making time for this. Like, it truly is such a privilege for us. So thank you.
You guys are so sweet. I'm so honored to be on it. Thanks for having me. You guys are the cutest. I love this. So thank you.
Yes. Thank you. Oh my goodness. Because also like now us knowing how busy you are, we're like, oh my gosh, we're so like lucky to just like have an hour of your time. Like, we're like, wow, like all the other things you could be doing, which obviously like this was hopefully super fun and fulfilling and whatnot. But we're like, wow. Now I'm like, she's gonna have a 12-hour shift, like all this stuff. I'm like, wow. So kudos to you for being so organized and being able to do this, because I think I would be like, no, I can't do something like this because of all these other things. But yes, thank you so much. This was so fun.
Yeah, thanks, y'all. Appreciate it.
These episodes are our virtual Valentines from us to you.
We hope you have a new book for your never-ending TBR, a new song to add to your playlist, and a new indie author to follow on Instagram.
And as always, we would love if you left us a rate and review on whatever stream platform you use. And if you want more from us, you can find us on Instagram at likewise_pod. This was so much fun, and I hope you both have a lovely rest of your day.
Thanks, Issa, and likewise to you all.
Lots of love.
And remember, look fab, feel fab.